Random House Audio presents The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros. Read for you by the author. A las mujeres, to the women. My readers ask, are these stories true? Are you Esperanza? I began writing The House on Mango Street while in graduate school in Iowa City, Iowa, the spring of 1977. I was 22 years old. The voice of Mango Street and all my work was born at one moment when I recognized my otherness. I was in a graduate seminar on memory and the imagination. The books were Vladimir Nabokov's Speak Memory, Isaac Dinesen's Out of Africa, and Gaston Bachelard's The Poetics of Space. I had enjoyed the first two, but the third book left me baffled. I assumed I just didn't get it because I wasn't as smart as everyone else, and if I didn't say anything, maybe no one else would notice. The conversation, I remember, was about the house of memory, the attic, the stairwells, the cellar. Attic? My family lived in third-floor flats for the most part because noise traveled down. Stairwells reeked of pine sol from the Saturday scrubbing. We shared them with the people downstairs. They were public zones no one thought to clean except us. We mopped them all right, but not without resentment for cleaning up some other people's trash. And as for cellars, we had a basement, but who'd want to hide in there? Basements were filled with urban fauna. Everyone was scared to go in there, including the meter reader and the landlord. What was this guy Bachelard talking about when he mentioned the familiar and comforting house of memory? It was obvious he'd never had to clean one or had to pay the landlord rent for one like ours. Then it occurred to me that none of the books in this class, in any of my classes, in all the years of my education, had ever discussed a house like mine. Not in books or magazines or film. My classmates had come from real houses, real neighborhoods, ones they could point to, but what did I know? When I went home that evening, I asked myself what I could write about that my classmates could not. I didn't know what I wanted exactly, but I did have enough sense to know what I didn't want. I didn't want to sound like my classmates. I didn't want to keep imitating the writers I had been reading. Their voices were right for them, but not for me. Instead, I searched for the ugliest subjects I could find, the most unpoetic. Slang, monologues where waitresses or kids talk their own lives. I was trying as best I could to write the kind of book I had never seen in a library or in a school, the kind of book not even my professors could write. Each week, I ingested the class readings, and then went off and did the opposite. It was a quiet revolution, perhaps a reaction taken to extremes, but it was out of this negative experience that I found something positive, my own voice. The language of Mango Street is based on speech. It's very much an anti-academic voice, a child's voice, a girl's voice, a poor girl's voice, a spoken voice, the voice of an American Mexican. At one time or another, we all have felt other. When I teach writing, I tell the story of the moment of discovering and naming my otherness. It is not enough to simply sense it. It has to be named and then written about from there. Once I could name it, I ceased being ashamed and silent. I could speak up and celebrate my otherness as a woman, as a working-class person, as an American of Mexican descent. When I recognized the places where I departed from my neighbors, my classmates, my family, my town, my brothers, when I discovered what I knew that no one else in the room knew and spoke it in a voice that was my voice, the voice I used when I was sitting in the kitchen dressed in my pajamas, talking over a table littered with cups and dishes, when I could give myself permission to speak from that intimate space, then I could talk and sound like myself, not like me trying to sound like someone I wasn't. Then I could speak, shout, Laugh from a place that was uniquely mine, that was no one else's in the history of the universe, that would never be anyone else's, ever.